We have our first live question coming up now from Amy. Amy, welcome to the virtual information session. You're joining us live. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. My question is, for the route identified as yellow, will you be using the existing infrastructure, such as the towers, or do you anticipate having to build additional towers to support the transmission line?
Thank you, Amy. And Sunny, I'll turn that question over to you.
Thank you very much, Dana. Thank you very much for the question, Amy. So part of the selection criteria that we use on these does look at paralleling existing infrastructure where possible. Whilst that would reduce the amount of footprint that's utilized with the construction of this asset, we do still have to build a new transmission line to actually supplement the power and the load that's going to be transferred down into this region. So there will be still new construction of a new transmission line occurring, albeit it would be parallel to the existing asset that's there now.
Thank you, Sunny. And Eric, we'll go to our next question.
We have another live question coming up. A quick reminder to everyone joining us, if you have a live question you would like to ask, please press 3 on your phone's keypad and someone will take your name and place you in the question queue. We're going now to Sandra. Sandra, welcome.
Hi. I was just calling or asking about the rates of hydro. What is all of this work going to do to our rates, our residential rates for hydro?
Thank you, Sandra. And Dan, I'll pass this question over to you.
Sure thing. And thanks, Sandra, for the question. I think it's actually a really important question and one we're actually happy is contemplated as a part of this project. The first thing I want to say is that we have done some preliminary estimates and don't foresee any material rate impacts as a result of constructing this project. There are two things I want you to keep in mind that are beneficial in this case. The first one is that transmission infrastructure is amortized over a very, very long period of time. So the costs of this project span decades. The idea there is that the cost of a project sort of matches the expected lifespan of the infrastructure being built. The second one is the best way to actually bring rates down is to add more customers, or what we call load, which is essentially the amount of energy being consumed, to add more load onto the system. And in this case, this transmission project is enabling hundreds of megawatts of new greenhouse and other load to come onto the system. So in fact, once online and once customers are connected, this project will serve a beneficial role when it comes to electricity rates.
Thank you, Dan. And Eric, we'll take the next question.
We have another live question ready to go. Again, for everyone joining us, press 3 on your phone's keypad if you would like to ask a live question. We're going now to Mike. Mike, welcome. You're joining us live.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering how the data collected during the baseline ecological studies will be shared with different partners, provincial and municipal partners, for future decision-making.
Thank you for that question. And John, I'll turn that one over to you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the question. We are actually just starting on the process of collecting those environmental data through field studies. We will be working with a technical advisory committee, or a TAC, which will be a committee of technical partners, including technical agencies, regulators, municipalities, to discuss the data collected, to obtain their input. Just like we are reaching out to you today, we'd like the public's input. There's a number of stakeholders that we require their input from, and we can take that and help inform decisions as we move forward. So that technical advisory committee will really form the platform by which we can communicate and share environmental data. It'll also be publicly available at the end of the process in the environmental study report, and you can also learn more about that by staying connected to the project at future engagement events such as this. Thanks for the question.
Thank you. And Eric, we'll go to our next question.
We have another live question coming up. Again, another reminder just to everyone, if you would like to ask a live question, press 3 on your phone's keypad. Up next, we have Debbie, who's joining us live. Debbie, welcome. Please go ahead.
Hi. I'm looking at the map currently, and I'm looking at the red route, and it shows that it's for Comber, and I'm trying to figure out where that route actually goes. Does it once it gets to the Comber area, does it follow south of the 401? That's it.
Thank you. And John or Sunny, I will turn this to you.
Sure. I won't be able to speak to the very specific localized geographies of every part along that alignment, but what I would do is direct you to the interactive mapping tool that we have on HydroOne.com. If you go into the major projects web page, there is a Chatham to Lakeshore line section, and you can actually access very detailed mapping on a section-by-section basis, and you can actually see in very detail, good detail, where the line traverses for each of the alternatives and the associated variations.
Thank you. And Eric, we'll take our next question.
Dana, we have a pre-submitted question is our next question, and the question is as follows. Does Hydro One already have a preferred route?
Thank you. And John, I'll turn that question over to you.
Thank you. Yes, we understand that that being a logical question, but the answer is no, we don't. In fact, that is the point of the class environmental assessment process, which is, as Dana described in the presentation, a transparent planning and decision-making framework, which is used to study and evaluate feasible alternatives. We've identified 3 diverse route alternatives with associated variations that will meet the project need. And of course, your input will help inform this decision. Each alternative will be evaluated fairly according to the same evaluation criteria. And as was mentioned in the presentation, by early 2021, Hydro One expects to present a preliminary preferred route and explain the rationale for its selection, including how stakeholder input helped inform that decision.
Thank you for that question. And Eric, we'll go to our next question.
We have another live question now coming up from Michael. Michael, welcome to the town hall, or you're joining us live. Please go ahead. Michael, you're joining us live. Please go ahead with your question.
Well, if this is me, you're looking at this, Michael. My question was, which Indigenous groups did you confer with on this project?
Thank you for your question, Michael. And Sarah Jane, I'll turn that question over to you.
Thank you, Michael, for your question. Consultation engagement with First Nation communities is a top priority for Hydro One. Hydro One has begun engaging First Nation communities as we begin the Class EA process. And the communities, we received delegation of the procedural aspects of consultation from the Ministry of Energy, are Amjanong First Nation, Wapul Island First Nation, Caldwell First Nation, Chippewas of Kettle and Stony Point First Nation, Chippewas of the Thames First Nation, Oneida Nation of the Thames, Six Nations of the Grand River, and the Haudenosaunee Confederacy Chiefs Council. Thank you.
Thank you. And Eric, we'll take our next question.
We have another live question, and again, everyone joining us, press 3 on your phone's keypad if you would like to ask a live question. We're going to go now to Katie. Katie, welcome. You're joining us live.
Hi. I was just wondering, when it comes to, let's say you divert to somewhere else and you need to go through a farmer's property, are you taking the property from the farmer? Are you buying the property for the from the farmer? Or could we just straight up tell you guys, no, you're not going through my property?
Andrew, I'll have you start with this question, and then John, if there's anything else to add.
Hi, Katie. thank you for the question. So at the conclusion of the root assessment, Hydro One's real estate group will work closely with directly impacted landowners who have the preferred right-of-way on their property. Now, we'll be relying on what we call the land acquisition compensation principles to govern discussions with each of the directly impacted property owners. These principles are based on recent land acquisition programs and will be applied in a fair, transparent, and consistent manner. So at this time, we are still in development of the compensation principles, and they will not be finalized until the route, until the preferred route is basically selected. At this time, what I can tell you is that Hydro One will offer landowner choice, in which the directly impacted landowner would elect to either grant Hydro One an interest on the property in the form of an easement, or in other case, or alternatively, landowners can also grant to Hydro One fee simple ownership rights, whereby Hydro One would purchase the transmission corridor strip. As part of our compensation principles, so we are offering this landowner choice. We are looking to work to achieve a voluntary settlement with each and every landowner. We understand each property is a little unique, and but hopefully the land acquisition compensation principles will govern our the discussions. So at the end of the day, hopefully we're able to enter to a voluntary settlement and reach a mutually acceptable agreement. I hope that answers your question, Katie.
And Dana, I'll jump in there. It's John. Yeah, thanks, Katie. So building upon what Andrew said there, there's technical and economic challenges when building linear transmission infrastructure spanning such distances as we have here, which limits the ability to weave and turn around individual properties. You can appreciate, hopefully, the challenge of inviting potentially dozens of different ideas beyond those proposed, which may not meet Hydro One's requirements or respect identified constraints. We also don't expect the public to know what a transmission design engineer's technical considerations are for it to be feasible. We have spent considerable effort establishing the routes and associated variations while avoiding identified constraints. And that doesn't mean you don't have a say, though. You have a say, and we promise to listen. We envision your feedback really contributing to three objectives: helping us further characterize the environment and existing conditions of each route, potential effects and localized constraints, which may be, from your perspective, your property, helping to develop a set of evaluation criteria, defining them and influencing how we apply them and weigh them, and number three, helping to identify means of avoiding, protecting, or mitigating the environmental effects of the project. So that being said, it is possible that we may need to make some refinements to routes to address new constraints that come to light during the process. And we certainly look forward to receiving your input, which will be documented in the environmental study report. What we ask everybody to remember, and what's really important, is that any feedback regarding a particular alternative, it needs to be applied fairly to all alternatives without bias. So with any concerns or objections, the key for us is to really understand the nature of the concern, identify themes of that concern, and then apply that logic universally. So we acknowledge the importance of a decision like this, and we recognize that there will be a range of opinions and perspectives as we go forward. You have our assurance that we do not take decisions like this lightly, and this is why we're so interested in hearing from you, to help inform a fair and balanced evaluation process. Having said that, we also acknowledge that no solution is going to satisfy everyone. What we can commit to is considering that all input received, we will consider it, we will apply a fair and balanced approach, and we will provide rationale for the decisions made. Thanks, Katie. I think that's a question that's on a lot of people's minds.
Thank you. And Eric, we'll go to our next question.
We have another live question coming up in just a moment. We're going to do another quick survey question for everyone joining us. You can indicate your response using your touchtone phone. We want to know, what is your preferred method to receive project updates or information? If it is through newsletters or emails, press 1. If it is through virtual information sessions, press 2. If it is through in-person sessions or meetings, press 3. And if it is through a different method not mentioned, press 4. So again, what is your preferred method to receive project updates or information? If it is through newsletters or emails, press 1. If it is through virtual information sessions, press 2. If it is through in-person sessions or meetings, press 3. And if it is through a different method, not mentioned, press 4. We now have our next live question from Bert. Bert, welcome. You're joining us live. Hi, Bert. Welcome to our event today. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I have a question on alternative number 2. It's along the CPR railroad track now, part of the way. If you intend to go that way, are you going to use those tower lines that are there, or are you going to replace them with new ones?
Thank you, Bert. And Sonny, I'll pass this question over to you.
Thanks, Dana. Thank you very much for the question, Bert. Yep. So in paralleling the railway line, it's a similar consideration to paralleling the existing transmission lines. So again, where possible, we will try and look at options whereby we are minimizing impacts by paralleling existing infrastructure. However, this line itself will require new hardware, new transmission lines, require new structures so that we can actually get the power transfer capacity that we're needing as a requirement of this project. Thank you very much for your question.
Thank you. And Eric, we'll go to our next question.
We have another question that was pre-submitted, and the question is as follows. I am a local business owner in the area. Can you tell me if local contractors will have an opportunity to be involved on this project?
And Sonny, I'll turn this question over to you.
Thank you very much, Dana. Yeah. So Hydro One is committed to providing opportunities to local businesses to provide products and services on the delivery of our projects. We are early in the development stage on this project, but as further definition is provided and feedback is sought through sessions such as this CIC, our construction delivery plans will be developed and finalized. We are confident that opportunities will exist for local companies to participate on the construction of this project.
Thank you, Sonny. And Eric, we'll go to our next question.
We have another live question coming up. A quick reminder to everyone joining us to press 3 on your phone's keypad if you would like to ask a live question. We're going now to Donna. Donna, welcome. You're joining us live.
I just want to find out, with the extra hydro that's going up, is it because of the new greenhouses going up all over? And will this affect our bills?
Thank you, Donna. And Dan, I'm going to forward this question to you. And then ISO, if you have anything else to add after.
Sure thing. Thank you, Dana. And thanks again for the question. So yes, this project is predominantly due to the increased demand for electricity from the rather unprecedented growth we're seeing in the greenhouse sector. So it is definitely to serve that. When it comes to the impact on bills, really the good news there, while we obviously can't 100% accurately predict what that is because there are a lot of variables, is that the best way to reduce rates is to add more load, which means more customers using power, onto the system. And because this greenhouse growth is so significant, this will have a beneficial impact on rates, and as I mentioned to an earlier question as well, transmission infrastructure is also priced in such a way and applied to bills in such a way that the cost is spread out over the lifespan or expected lifespan of the assets. So we're talking many, many decades that the cost of this project will be spread out across. So in fact, this is the type of investment you would want to see, both for economic growth and also to spread those costs across a larger customer base. I'll pass it over to Kennan from the IESO to add anything else.
Hello. Thanks for the question. I'll just kind of build on what Dan has already started. Certainly, the triggering event was due to a lot of this greenhouse growth in the Kingsville and Leamington areas. We went through a whole planning process to take a look at this. So as part of the regional planning that was conducted for the Windsor-Essex region, this all started a couple of years ago when we first identified this this growth this in this particular area. Through those studies, we worked with communities and stakeholder groups to better understand that, and that really drove the forecast that went towards the assessments that took place. Needs were identified. There was need for infrastructure in that particular pocket. But as a result, there was also some upstream needs. Those upstream needs, upon further assessment looking at the fault system, earlier on, Dana was talking about the differences between the distribution system, which is kind of like that last mile, as well as the fault system, which is like our superhighways that connect the province together. So, through those fault system studies, this upstream need was identified, and the transmission line being recommended is to help mitigate those needs and accommodate the load growth. The only last point I want to make is the transmission line does serve multiple purposes. One, while it is the triggering need, is certainly the load growth in this pocket, but as well, the transmission line also helps us ensure that we have a good, reliable power system in Ontario to ensure that the flows going from end to end in the province are well served, as well as ensuring that our interconnections with our neighbors are also well served as well.
Thank you. And Eric, we'll go to our next question.
We have another live question coming up now from Lexi. Lexi, welcome to the town hall. You're joining us live. Please go ahead.
Thank you to the panelists for your time and this opportunity to engage with you. My question is there a minimum setback for the size transmission line from a residence? And if so, what is it?
Andrew, I'll forward this over to you. And then Sunny, if there's anything additional that you want to add, please go after.
Thank you for your question. Typically, a transmission corridor at 230 kV is approximately 150 feet in size. Right now, Hydro One is looking at a transmission corridor of 130 feet. However, that's still we're still in the early design stages, and there's a number of factors that engineering would have to take into account before the final corridor width is determined. I will say that in the transmission corridor, there would be no buildings or structures permitted, and that would be to ensure that we have the necessary vertical and horizontal clearances for swing and to ensure that we can Hydro One can safely, effectively operate and maintain the transmission line. So it will depend on in terms of distance to a home. It will depend where the corridor is situated once the final route is determined. And real estate will be working with each owner on a one-on-one basis, seeing in order to determine what kind of impact there is to that property owner. But there is not any, no buildings would be permitted within the corridor. I hope that answers your question. Thank you.
Thank you. And Eric, we'll go to our next question.
Up next, we have Chantel, who is joining us live. Chantel, welcome. Please go ahead.
Thank you for having this call today. My question is, looking at the timeline of completion is 2025, my concern is that the greenhouse building is happening now on a daily basis. A new greenhouse is literally going up every week. And how will our power system locally be able to take on all that extra power for the next 5 years if we're concerned now, soon Leamington and Kingsville will be landlocked for greenhouses. But in the meantime, how over the next 5 years are we going to maintain the power? And will that power, if the power is all pushed there, how will it affect us in the Comberg, Tilbury, and Chatham corridor?
Thank you for that question. And IESO, I will turn that one over to you.
Hello. Yes, thank you for the question. So the planning that's taking place that I mentioned before, part of the regional planning exercise, what we do is we collect load forecasts. We collect that not only for the growing load that are obviously appearing a little bit more in the Leamington and the Kingsville area, but we also collect load forecasts for the entire region. And we also have a good understanding of how load growth is happening just outside that region. So as part of that assessment, utilizing those load forecasts, the assessments that we do will identify when needs arise. So for this particular region, that was obviously done. There is an entire integrated regional resource plan for the Windsor-Essex, which describes in quite amount of detail as to when these needs arise and when they pop up. There is certainly a challenge connecting the load appearing. These greenhouses, like you mentioned, are appearing quite quickly. But the plans that are being put in place today, starting with some infrastructure being built up directly in the Leamington area, subsequently additional improvements are being done in the Lakeshore area. This is really a multi-stage approach. So what we're trying to do is plan and make these plan recommendations and build this new infrastructure in a way that's certainly cost prudent, but as well as ensuring that the reliability of power is maintained throughout. So while this new line will take a certain number of years to be put in place, there are staged investments to ensure the reliability is maintained, as well as there are interim solutions to allow the loads to connect, whereby still serving all the other load customers at the expected reliability level. I hope that answers your question.
Thanks, Kenan. It's Daniel from Hydro One speaking as well. I just wanted to add that there's quite a lot of infrastructure that's in right now that will be supportive, including the Leamington 1 and Leamington 2 transformer stations that were recently built. We also have a Lakeshore transformer station that's going to be going up and on South Middle Road. That too will improve the local power supply. So, to Kenan's point, there's a lot of work going on that in the interim will support. But your point on future growth as well, and the needs filling out at least until there's no more land available in the area. While there are immediate things that we are consulting on during this period, as a number of people on the panel have already alluded to, environmental, real estate, other planning aspects, we're also making sure that we're in touch with the business community. We deal very directly with the Greenhouse Growers Association, individual greenhouse customers, the Chambers of Commerce, the Windsor-Essex Economic Development Corporation, local councils, municipalities, mayors, Reeves, et cetera, to make sure that we have as clear a picture of the growth that's taking place. And if there is more we need to do or advocate for or work with the IESO to work up and deliver so that, as I said off the top, the power is there when you need it. This is a very good opportunity that we've taken. We've been out to the area many times since this project was announced, and continue to reach out to customers in the business community out there. So we're going to be keeping our finger on the pulse and making sure that we all work together to make sure that that power is there for the industry that's growing.
Thank you. And Eric, we'll go to our next question.
We have another live question now. It's going to be from Matthew. Matthew, welcome. You're joining us live. Please go ahead.
Thank you. As I'm sure everybody on the line is well aware, it's unusual times given the pandemic. And certainly that creates a great deal of uncertainty in terms of hydro demand and an uncertain path to recovery for industry in the area. Is it Hydro One's or the ISO's intention to revisit the load forecast in a year or so's time to confirm that the timing on this investment is still correct?
Thank you for that question. And Sunny, I will turn it first over to you and the ISO if there's anything else you want to add after that.
Okay. Matthew, thank you very much for the question. You are quite right. It is unprecedented times. The fact that we're doing a virtual CIC as opposed to an in-person CIC is speaks to that in large volumes. Having said that, the timings that we've put forward for this project, we believe that we will still maintain those through the COVID-19 pandemic. As you know, Hydro One owns and operates the transmission system right across Ontario. We have kept the operations going through the COVID-19 pandemic. We've ramped back some of our works and respected the advice from the province. And, you know, our primary focus has been the health and safety of our employees and the health and safety of the communities in which we serve. And having said that, one of the prime drivers behind a transmission system operator is to make sure that we are actually providing electrical power to those communities in these times, right? So we've adjusted and adapted our work processes and practices to deliver the infrastructure that we need to. We have no doubt that there will be some challenges associated with this by COVID-19, but we are very confident that we will still meet the timelines of this project. With that, I'll hand it over to the IESO if you have anything further to add.
Hi, yes, thank you. This is Rasal Grutella from the IESO. Thanks for that question. From a provincial basis, the IESO has observed notable impacts to Ontario's electricity demand due to the pandemic. Not surprisingly, COVID-19 has disrupted many businesses, resulting in reduced provincial demand and creating a bit of uncertainty in supply and demand forecasts. Recognizing that this is an evolving situation, the ISO will continue to monitor how this progresses and how we see the demand forecast changing pretty closely. And we will continue to update the sector to release updated reliability outlooks and planning outlooks based on what we're seeing over time. And the ISO has been engaging with local stakeholders and communities. For example, Dan had mentioned the Windsor Essex Economic Development Corporation. And we've been in discussions with groups like these to gauge local impacts and to see how businesses are responding. And we will be further updating the public and the sector on electricity impacts of COVID-19 that will actually be provided during stakeholder engagement meetings taking place starting May 20th, and further information on those meetings can be provided, can be found online at www.iso.ca. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. And Eric, we'll go to our next question.
We have another pre-submitted question that has come in. The question is as follows. What community investments will be made directly to our community to offset the environmental and construction impacts?
And Dan, I'll turn that question over to you.
Thank you very much, and a great question. You know, corporate citizenry is something that's deeply important to us at Hydro One. And, you know, as I mentioned off the top, our employees live and work in these communities. So, you know, we see the fact that we have infrastructure crossing through as more than just a transactional event. We are your neighbors. And, you know, one thing that we are going to be conducting as a part of this environmental assessment process and the rather intense consultation and robust consultation that's going to take place with stakeholders, advocates, communities, et cetera, across the region, is going to help inform that. We don't want to assume what those community investment needs are going to be. And the reality is, across an approximate 49-kilometer length, there will be different needs, across different communities. So we're going to allow the consultation process and all the community advocates and associations and ratepayers groups and obviously elected officials, et cetera, help give us the best advice in terms of what our footprint should be from an investment perspective and how to best apply that. What I can say is that it will be substantial and commensurate and ideally go beyond just making up for impact, but providing some meaningful participation in what matters to the communities that we will be crossing. So thanks for the question, and that's actually a part that we're really, really excited to get engaged in.
Thank you. And Eric, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, Dana and Daniel, now it appears we're actually reaching the end of the community information session this evening. Daniel, with the last few minutes remaining, did you have some final remarks you would like to share with local residents?
I do. Thank you very much. Firstly, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to join us this evening to learn more about the Chatham to Lakeshore Transmission Line project. Obviously, we're learning as we go, so feedback on the project is great, but also feedback on this engagement session and how it worked for you and what more you would want to see, what less you'd want to see. All that feedback is going to be really, really important. So, happy to learn and grow and make sure they're reaching out to you in the right way. Speaking on behalf of our team at Hydro One and our partners at the IESO, we really appreciate having the opportunity to hear directly from you tonight. If you were not able to ask your question, I encourage you to get in touch with us by contacting us directly at community.relations@hydroone.com or 1-877-345-6799. I'll repeat that, community.relations@hydroone.com or 1-877-345-6799. I also want to note there were a number of questions about people experiencing issues keeping up with their bills due to COVID-19, some small businesses, residential customers, et cetera. Reach out to us at hydroone.com or call the customer service line on your bills. That's definitely something we've heard from our customers. And in fact, we introduced a pandemic relief fund and are also working with individual customers and their individual needs. So if you are in need or you're experiencing difficulty, please reach out to us. And we'll do everything that we can to assist. And we do have some resources that that can help us help others ride through this period. So separate from that, as we've mentioned throughout tonight's session, your feedback is a really important part of the planning and development process for a new transmission line. And as we continue development work for this new line, we work forward to working with you and continuing to engage. So. With that, I want to say thank you very much, and be safe.
Thank you again to everyone for joining us on the event this evening. As mentioned, if you have any questions or feedback that you would like to share with the project team, you can do so by emailing us at community.relations@hydroone.com or by calling 1-877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night. 877-345-6799. Thank you again to everyone for joining us this evening, and have a good night.